As we look at our gospel reading today, on the surface, it appears to be a bit of a puzzling one. We know that Jesus has been going all around and curing people, and people come to him all the time and ask him to do things, and he does, even miraculous things. And yet today, we have this unusual story. A woman comes to Jesus, who's got what seems to be a pretty typical situation for Jesus. Her daughter is tormented by a demon, nothing that Jesus hasn't handled before. And she comes and she earnestly asks him, "Lord, my daughter is sick. Please help me." We could just hear the earnestness in the woman's words. "Please help me." A pretty typical thing to ask Jesus. And he begins by, first of all, not listening to her at all. He doesn't say anything. She increases the fervor of her asking. And in response, Jesus says, basically calls her a dog. Says it's not right to give the food of the children and throw it to dogs. And then finally, she's able to increase for a third time. And then, amazingly, Jesus switches completely and says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." One moment he's calling her a dog, and then the very next moment, she's of great faith. What on earth is going on in this reading? Well, on the surface, it's a little hard. If we're just looking at the words and the narrative, we wouldn't understand what just happened. But if we look a little bit more about some of the details of this reading, the spiritual sense of what's going on comes out. No detail is lost here. First, notice that it begins by telling us that Jesus is going out to the region of Tyre and Sidon. These are two Mediterranean coastal cities. If you were to start at the north of the Sea of Galilee and move kind of straight west towards the coast, you'd hit Tyre. And if you went a little bit further north, you'd hit Sidon. These are in the ancient land of Phoenicia. Some of the cities that when Joshua and the Israelites came in and conquered the Promised Land, these were cities that they didn't take. And they remained, even to the day of Jesus, Canaanite cities. Hence, a Canaanite woman is coming out. These were pagan territories, Gentiles, nothing to do with the chosen people. They would have been very looked down upon by all Jews, especially the apostles. But notice how we begin. It says Jesus is going there. It says Jesus goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This land that represents sin and separation from God, Jesus is going there. But notice the other thing. It says the Canaanite woman, she came out of that region. This was a spiritual kind of movement that was not lost on the fathers of the church. They drew great attention to this to say, look, the woman is leaving the land of sin and separation from God. She's coming out of Tyre and Sidon, and Jesus is going there. And there's this beautiful encounter, the woman who wants to leave sin and Jesus who wants to go save sinners. So right away, reading it that way, we would know that something big is going to happen here. Now notice that, yes, it takes a little bit. She has to increase the fervor of her asking. When Jesus says it's not right to give the food of the children to dogs, well, of course, he's talking the children are the children of the house of Israel. And the dogs, that's exactly how the Jews referred to Gentiles. Goyim, dogs. So Jesus is just repeating a popular saying that isn't his mission, after all, to save the Jews. Now, of course, it is, but Jesus' mission is much bigger. He knows in the end, he's here as the savior of the whole world, but he has to draw it out of the Jewish hearts of his apostles. So this woman gets it. She doesn't care that she's been living in sin. She's ready to leave Tyre and Sidon. She's seeking the light. She seeks Jesus. And so in the end, she gets the answer to her prayer. So why all the delay? Why this back and forth? St. Augustine beautifully remarked in this passage to say that mercy is not denied, but delayed, so that desire might be increased. Notice by the end of this, she's fervently asking, and she gets what she wants. In the end, she desires God, and she gets it. That is the great spiritual message that Jesus clearly wanted to show his apostles. How much do the Jews desire me? How much do they want me? Do my own people desire me the way this Canaanite woman does? And he points to her and says, that's faith. This woman has great faith because she has great desire for God. How much desire for God do we have? Are we like this Canaanite woman? Are we living in a land of sin and darkness and happy there? Or like her, do we feel called out? Are we ready to leave behind sin and death? Good, well, that's the first step. We've got to leave Tyre and Sidon. Then we've got to go out and meet Jesus. But even for those of us who have done that, who have met Jesus, we too have prayers. We have things that we want to ask God for that seem to be good things. This woman was asking for something good, the healing of her daughter. We too have many good things we ask for. Perhaps the healing of our own family members. Not a bad thing to pray for. Why then does it seem that Jesus delays? Why do our prayers often seem to go unanswered? Well, that's what we can learn from the Canaanite woman. God is not failing to answer our prayers. He always answers our prayers. Sometimes, because he loves us, the answer is no. That's not what's best for you. And if you could see with the eyes of God, you would see it his way and know that that's not what you really want. So sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes, as in the case of this Canaanite woman, the answer is not no, but not now or not yet. That there is a seeming delay, not because God is brushing us aside or doesn't care for us, but because he wants to increase our desire. Because in the end, all the healings that Jesus might do, all the prayers in our life he might answer, are insignificant compared to the desire for God in our heart. Because that desire will lead to heaven, life forever with God, who we desire. The other things are just earthly things often that we want. Longer life here, healing there. All those things pass. But if we have the desire in our heart that this woman had, we will be with God forever. I'm reminded of the famous visit of St. John Paul II to Poland right after he was elected Pope. In 1979, he goes back to Poland for the first time, communist Poland that he knew so well. And there he celebrates a famous mass in Warsaw, in Victory Square. A huge cross was erected behind the altar. A people that had lived in oppression under communist rule for so long, now all gathered together in the street. One person remarked, there are so many of us. They felt so much together. And in the middle of that mass, without any prompting or cue, amazingly, the crowd begins to chant together, millions of people, we want God. We want God. Over and over. It took years and years of communist oppression for Poland to again realize how much we need God. We want God. Their desire was stirred by the hardship of atheist communist oppression. And the result was that they were able to affirm what is most important about them. We want God. Would we today in the United States say the same thing? To some extent, living with religious freedom and how easy it is relatively to be a Christian in the United States, even to be Catholic, it's good. But has perhaps our desire for God diminished? After all, the whole reason for the founding of our country was religious freedom. People wanted to come to America because they wanted God. They wanted to be free to practice their belief in Jesus. Now it's common that we want to be free from religion. We've totally turned the Constitution on its head, and the very freedoms that are supposed to allow religion to flourish are now being used to contain it. Amazingly, the sentiment is now that religion is somehow a bad thing, or at least it should be kept within the walls of churches. On the one hand, we could say that that's a terrible tragic consequence for our nation that we've evolved that way. But on the other hand, perhaps God will do something amazing, like he does in the scripture here. Perhaps, as has often been the case in history, the more that the faith is persecuted, the more that the faith is told that we can't be who we are, the more our desire for it is stirred up. Perhaps we will come out of our complacency and scream like they did in Warsaw, "We want God." Is it possible that as a nation, again, instead of trying to find ways to limit religious freedom, we would stand up and say, as a nation, "We want God"? If we do that, then we will see the great miracle that Jesus will work. Today, we see in our scriptures that the limits of those who find God are not based on national lines, political identities, race, nation, birth. Every nation is welcome. The key is desire. Who wants God the most? Sometimes it's the people who seem to have the least. It's probably no coincidence that while we're trying to suppress religion in the United States, and especially in Western Europe, that over in Africa, South America, in the poorest areas of the world, the Catholic faith is flourishing. Because they don't have much, because they have great need, they're able to say, "We have need, and the thing we need most is God. We want God." What will it take for us to have our desire increased? Certainly not that we would pray that we would become needy or experience persecution, but we can know that God will use everything to bring about our salvation. Maybe he'll send us some crisis to increase our desire. Certainly we saw a little bit of this on 9/11. For the first time in a long time, all of a sudden we saw our nation's leaders back in church. We saw people praying, holding vigils. All of a sudden people seemed to want to remember God in the face of a crisis. Now, hopefully it doesn't take a crisis, but today we're open to whatever God wants. We do come today with our prayers, all our needs. We ask God to answer them. But he'll do it in his time, in his way. And if he delays, know that he only does it to stir up our desire. He will answer our prayers. But perhaps the greatest prayer we could ask him is to increase our desire so that we too might rise up, and individually and collectively, we might shout, "We want God. We want God."